in the book of Genesis, chapter 19, commencing to read at verse number 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat on the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Verse number 12, and the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any beside, son-in-law, and thy sons and thy daughters, whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife, thy two daughters which are here, and lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. Came to pass, when they brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, lest thou neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, O, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. And thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold, now the city is near to flee unto. It's a little one, O, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live? He said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city, for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. And then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone, and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abram got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld. And lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Amen. And we know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads at the throne of grace and prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to thee tonight and we thank thee for thy precious and thine infallible word. We thank the Lord that as we come to search the scriptures tonight, we know that thou can search our hearts through the scriptures. And we pray that thou wilt indeed, Lord, just take of thy word, and that thou wilt write it with the indelible ink of heaven for the power of the Holy Ghost upon our hearts. We thank thee, we praise thee, that thou art a God mighty to save, and thou art a God ready to pardon. And we thank the Lord tonight that those that are in this service without Christ, and therefore without hope, Lord, we bless thee that they can go out gloriously and wonderfully and eternally saved by the power of a sovereign and the grace of a sovereign God. To this end, O God, I trust you now for power. For it's thy blessed anointing and power it cannot fail. For the words that thou this night shall give me shall and must prevail. We ask these things humbly in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. As we turn to God's precious word this evening, we view in the scriptures that we have read together the story of a family. Indeed, I'm sure, just like every other family, it was a family of great hopes. It was a family of great dreams. And yet before we finish the study of God's Word this evening, we'll find that it was a family that was destroyed and broken in pieces. It's very sad whenever we see families broken because of sin. It's very sad whenever we see families broken and they're no longer together. And there's not the happiness that once was and the hopes and the dreams that once was experienced in their hearts. But here's a family that the Holy Spirit of God has set before us this evening. And I believe the history of Lot and his family is a very sad story. But I believe it is very instructive. And I believe the Spirit of God has something to say to us even as we read and study the Word of God together. You see, the reality is this, that Lot was a person that seemed to start very well. He was a nephew of the great man of God, Abraham, the servant of the living God. The man that God had called out of the Ur of the Chaldees. The man that God had told and promised that he would make of him a great nation. And so we find that indeed Lot started with his uncle. He started well. And when Abram left the Ur of the Chaldees to go out into a place where he knew not of, but he walked the walk of faith, we find that Lot went with him. And so we see the great beginning, as it were, of the life of this young man. A young man who was blessed indeed. A young man who was prospered. Because we find that indeed God not only blessed Abraham, but God also blessed Lot. Then something happened. There was a problem between the servants of Lot and the servants of Abraham. And so we find there came a division. There came a parting of the way. Abram was a magnanimous man. He had a man with a great heart. A man that God had promised so much, and yet a man who wasn't greedy. A man that was willing to sacrifice and to give even to his nephew. Whenever it came to the dividing out of the land, and he said to his nephew, he said, listen, choose whatever you want. And he said, you can have. And he says, I'll take the rest. Lot looked out and he saw the plains and he saw the beautiful ground and he saw all the prosperity of the plains of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And as he looked upon it, he thought to himself, you know, that's the place for me. He looked upon it and he saw with the eye, the natural eye. He wasn't walking the walk of faith. He never asked God to show him what he ought to do. He decided that when he looked at those lush and green pastures, that that would be the best for his cattle, that that would be the best for his prosperity. And so the Bible tells us that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. It is true that indeed those pastures were rich. It is true that indeed those pastures were good for Lot's cattle. But my friend, Lot forgot something. Because the day that he pitched his tent towards Sodom, whilst the pastures may have been good for his flocks, it wasn't good for his family. And you know, he set aside what was good for his family, and he put it aside because he thought of his fortune. And he forgot what God would desire him to do. He never asked God. And so the Bible says that Lot set his face, or he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And then we find that Lot became one of the men sitting in the gate. One of the counselors in Sodom. He became one of the men that was sitting in the gate of Sodom. And he took his family into Sodom. And then he brought them under the judgment of Almighty God. That's a sad story, friend. A man who started out well, and yet a man who paid an awful price for his compromise and for his sin. Lot lost his testimony. Lot lost his intimate fellowship with God. And Lot lost his wife. The Lord Jesus, speaking over in the gospel, tells us in Luke 17, remember, that's why. But the verse that I want to mark this evening is in Genesis 19, verse 26. It said, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Three times in the scriptures, Lot's wife is mentioned. Now, there's not much about her that is mentioned in the Word of God, and yet, friend, in the little that there is, the Lord Jesus puts his finger upon her and he says, listen, you remember Lot's wife. Because there's a solemn message there. There's a lesson that you must never, ever forget. Because Lot's wife was an example of failure. She was an example of tragedy. She's an example that the Lord Jesus Christ was saying, remember her, because you dare not follow what Lot's wife did. She's not a woman to follow. But just remember Lot's wife, because his wife looked back from behind him. And she became a pillar of salt. When I think about Lot's wife this evening, I see that Lot's wife was a woman that was subject to the warnings that were faithfully made. In verse number 15 of chapter 19 it says, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the man laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, and Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. You know, God was going to judge the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God was going to rain fire of judgment upon them because of the sin that was in this city, the evil sin that was as a stench in the nostrils of a righteous and a holy God. And God was going to visit that sin, and because of that sin, God was going to visit judgment upon the city. And so when God sends two angels, and two men come to Lot, and you know, Lot brings them into his home. And as Lot brings them into his home, he realizes that indeed these two men have a message from God. And God says to Lot, he said, God's going to judge the city. God is going to rain judgment upon the city because the sin comes before a righteous and a holy God, and sin is going to be judged. The Bible tells us, the angel said to him, have you any other beside? Have you sons? Have you daughters? Have you sons-in-law? Have you any other beside? Bring them out of this place. And so we find that Lot goes to his sons-in-law, and when he takes a message of God's judgment, that they laugh at him. But then the Bible tells us in verse 15, that as the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, Lot, take thy wife. And so we find that indeed, Lot is faithfully warned, but in Lot being faithfully warned, his wife is faithfully warned as well. And the Bible says, listen, arise and take thy wife and take thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Lest you come under the judgment of a righteous and a holy God. And so she is faithfully warned, and it seems for a moment that she is alarmed at what she hears. For a moment it seems as if that the terror of the judgment of God comes upon her. But sad to say, it seems as if that the terror of the Lord passes like a passing cloud. Bible says that whilst they lingered, the man took hold upon Lot, and then he took hold upon his wife. And they dragged them, as it were, out of the city, and when they got them to the edge of the city, and got them there onto the plains, the angel of the Lord said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou on all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And friend, it seems as if she was truly wakened. But the sun's rising, and she's out of the immediate danger, because God's going to judge the cities. And for a moment, whilst it's true that she has been awakened to her need, and the angels have laid hold upon her, and she's outside the city. Listen, it seems as if, as the sun's rising on the day, and she looks out upon the green lush pastures out there, it seems as if that everything's getting brighter again, and it seems that the plains are well watered, and everything's lovely. It's like the garden of the Lord. And her anxiety passes. And her fear for the moment passes. And the panic's over, and she gets the warning. Look not behind thee, said the angel of the Lord. Escape for thy life. But the verse that we read tonight was this, verse 26. But his wife looked back. His wife looked back. You know, there were those in the city of the men of Sodom, and there was no message for them. Notice God didn't send the message to the men of Sodom. The Bible tells us that God was merciful to Lot and to his family. But it doesn't say that God was merciful anymore to the men of Sodom. You see, there were men, let me tell you, God was going to judge the city of Sodom. But let me tell you, they had sinned away their opportunity and their day, and God was going to judge them because of their sin. And there was no awakening for them. There was no message for them, friend. God didn't say to them, escape to the mountain. For all God was going to do, God was going to rain judgment down upon them.
And there's some, my friend, listen. Those men in Sodom, they were building, they were buying, they were planting, they were sowing, they were fulfilling the lusts of their flesh. And they hadn't a thought of eternity. Not a thought. There was no stirring in their soul. There was no warning from God.
Not even a message from God for them. God was just going to judge their sin. And they were in the city. And then there was Lot's sons-in-law. And when the angel of the Lord said, have you any of your family beside? Have you any sons? Have you any sons-in-law? Tell them that I'm going to rain judgment. And so Lot goes to his sons-in-law. And Lot tells them about the judgment that God is going to bring upon the city. Go to verse 14. And Lot went out, and he spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get thee out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. They laughed at him. And here were those that were given an opportunity. Yes, there was a message from God. Yes, the angel of the Lord had sent Lot to his sons-in-law. And friend, let me tell you this. The sons-in-law, although they were married unto his daughters, we find that his sons-in-law, my, they were not here. You notice it says in the verse number 15, and when the morning arose, and the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here. But his sons-in-law weren't there. I asked you why. I'll tell you why, friend. Because although his sons-in-law were married to his daughters, they were now taken up with the sin of Sodom. They weren't at home. They weren't there.
But God is still merciful. And God sends them. He sends them, Lot, and Lot goes. And he said, listen, get out of this place. Leave your sin. Leave your sins. I beg you, sons in law, leave your sin behind you, because God is going to destroy this place.
Mocked him. And I believe Lot, his heart was breaking that day, because Lot realized that he was the one that brought them there. And friend, he regretted what he did. I brought my sons-in-law to this place. I brought my sons, my daughters. I brought my wife, I brought myself, I brought my family to the place of judgment. And they laughed. And friends, you know, sometimes the ungodly in our families, perhaps in our homes, or the place that we work, you see, the sons-in-law looked behind the scenes and they remembered, Lot, you brought us here. And sometimes the ungodly, friend, listen to me very carefully. Sometimes the ungodly look at your life and they look at my life, and our ungodly friends or ungodly neighbors or ungodly children, they look behind the scenes and they see exactly who we really are. And when we come to warn them about God's judgment and we come to warn them about sin, friend, they just laugh us in our face. You telling me? You brought us to this sin.
There were those that were not warned. There were those that were warned and still they laughed. But there were those who were warned, friend, listen to me, and they were like Lot's wife. They were stirred. They were stirred. They were awakened.
That's a different people. You see, Lot's wife was worked upon. Even the very angels of the Lord, they took hold of her. She was stirred. And yet she wasn't saved. She looked back. You know, sometimes our lives, just like Lot's wife, can be shaken. A person said to me, whenever we heard of the death of our friend Trevor, young man, when will people listen? So many young people being taken away, or middle-aged people being taken away, friends, suddenly in death. Our sister Nell was with us last night down in Boviva, or Burnfoot, outside Dungiven. And she was telling us about her niece's husband in his 50s. And just dropped, like a moment, and just dropped dead and was into God's eternity. Friend, when will people learn? When will people listen? And you know, sometimes God stirs our life. And maybe whenever a tragedy comes into our family, maybe, friends, whenever death comes in and we see someone whom we have known and we have loved, and maybe they're a young person, and my friend, they're suddenly cut off, or maybe they're traveling down the road and there's an accident and they're suddenly ushered out into God's eternity, and then you're taken to the side of the grave, and for the first time, friend, maybe you look into the young face of a young friend of yours, and they're the same age as you are, and my friend, there wasn't a problem of health, and they were filled with vitality and filled with strength, and then tragedy struck and they were taken out into God's eternity, and for a moment you realize that could have been me. That could have been me. And you look into the face of that young fella, and you look into the face of that young lassie. Let me tell you, friend, it could have been me. I think of the young girl down in County Fermanagh. And she was engaged to be married. And whenever, friend, she was lying there in the wee coffin, when she was in that tragic accident in a moment taken out into God's eternity, and just beside the coffin, friend, was hanging her wedding dress that she never wore. She was to wear it, I think it was a week afterwards. But the week never came. And other young people that knew her, and other young people that worked with her, let me tell you, when they walked into that room and they saw the wedding dress hanging there, and they looked into the weak, cold face of a young lassie that was taken out in a moment into God's eternity. Thank God you were saved. But friend, let me tell you, they looked into it and they realized just, that could have been me. That does. For a moment, that stirs you. And for a moment, it awakens you. Just how simply life can pass so suddenly, and you can be ushered out into eternity, friend. And for a moment, Lot's wife was stirred. But then it passed. And is that not true? Is that not true of young people sitting up there in the gallery? Is that not true of people sitting downstairs here tonight? There have been times that you've been stirred, friend. You've been face to face. Maybe it's with sickness. Maybe it's because of sorrow. Maybe your life has been shaken. Maybe the winds are blowing upon that ship of life, friend. And my, you've been dashed upon the waves, and you realize just how suddenly it all can end, and how suddenly life can change. And your life, my friend, can come to a conclusion as far as this old world's concerned, and you can be ushered out into God's eternity. And if you die in your sin, you know fine well, it means nothing else but hell. Eternal hell, lost there, never to be found in the blackness of the darkness forever. And the dawn of a day will never come. And you realize it, and it shakes your life. But it's not bothering you, seeing. It's not shaking you the same, is it now? No, you've moved on, friend, haven't you? You've moved on. And everything seems to be going fine for you. And everything seems to be pretty rosy in the garden. And the sun's rising. Notice. It tells us in the Word of God, verse 23, the sun was risen. You see, maybe it was dark. Maybe things were becoming dark then, but listen, the darkness is passing, and the sun's rising again. And boy, you seem to be getting away with it. You seem to be just getting it fine. But friend, let me tell you, before that day finished, the sun set for Lot's wife. For good. She sent away her day of grace. Listen. Notice the Bible says in verse number 16, and when he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the gate. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. And here we see the Bible says that in verse 22, haste thee, escape thither. I cannot do anything till thou come. Therefore the name of that city was Zoar. And then the sun was risen upon the earth when the Lord entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah the fire, the brimstone and the fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plains and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the earth. But his wife looked back. You see, she was fleeing. She was fleeing. Her husband was fleeing. Her daughters were fleeing. And to be honest, and that for a moment, so was she. She had been moved. See, when the two men came to Lot's house and delivered that message, and Lot took the message to his sons-in-law, and Lot took the message to his wife then, he knew that this was judgment of God. He knew that God was going to rain down judgment. And his heart was breaking as he went to his sons-in-law and he said, listen, up get thee out of this place. The Lord will destroy the city. And Lot's wife could see upon his face that this was really concerning him. He was brokenhearted toward his family. And I have no doubt that Lot went back to his wife that night. And I have no doubt he said to her, listen, I beg the boys to come, but they won't come. I beg them, but they won't listen. And she saw written upon his face anxiety. And she knew this was real. He says to her, wife, we've got to go. You know, she's been with him through days of prosperity. She's been with him through hard times. She has been with him in the valley experiences. She has been with him in the mountain experiences. And whenever he says to her, he says, listen, love, I've got to go. And he's begging her to go, friend, listen. And she's going with him because she loved him. But listen to me carefully. That was the affection of nature. But nature is not grace. Listen to me carefully, friend. Listen. Natural affection carried Lot's wife out of Sodom. But it didn't carry her into Zoar. Do you see that? The natural affection carried her out of Sodom. But it didn't carry her into Zoar, the place of safety. Do you know why she went? Because Lot was going. And there's a warning here, friends. Let's be quite honest. Sometimes people can make a profession when their friends are making professions. Sometimes that they can make professions because others are making professions. But let me tell you, they're not saved. They're not saved. Because professions of themselves can't save you. Salvation is of the Lord. It's a personal experience between you and God. God doesn't save in the crowd, friend. God saves you personally, individually. It's a personal experience. When you come honestly and earnestly. Now, it's lovely to see whenever people are moved. I was thinking about the book of Ruth. And do you remember whenever the two daughters-in-law of Ruth, there was Orpha and there was Naomi, and there was a mother-in-law, and Orpha and Ruth. And whenever she came to the time when tragedy came into their family, and Naomi said to them, listen, go back home, go back to your families. And you remember what Ruth said unto her mother-in-law? She said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and when thou lodgest, I will lodge, and thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God, and where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And it's lovely whenever families come to on the same night and get gloriously saved. And thank God we have seen that. We have seen families getting saved. We have seen husbands and wife coming to the Lord together. We have seen what the work of grace in families, where families have been completed. Listen, in one gospel meeting, father and mother and son and daughter both get gloriously and wonderfully saved by the grace of God in the same life. But that was when God was moving by His Spirit in reality, and there was a genuine work of grace. But here was a woman, and she moved out of the city simply because her husband was going, but her heart wasn't going. She fled because he was fleeing. But friend, her heart was still in Sodom. Oh, she was let hold. Not only was she warned by the anxiety of a loving husband, friend, but she was warned by being laid hold upon by the very angel of God. Verse 16. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife. Not only the natural ties urged her to flee, friend. It was the supernatural power of an angel that laid hold upon her. What does it say in the verse 16? The Lord being merciful unto him. She was stirred. After the fact, the angel of the Lord took her to the edge of the city, friend, out there onto the plain, and said, "Escape for thy life." Listen. She was so near, and yet so far. The Lord Jesus looked at a young man one day, and this is what he said to him. He said, "Thou art not far from the kingdom." And yet, friend, you could be so near. So near. The Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God records concerning a king upon the throne. His name was Agrippa. And he turned to the Apostle Paul, the old servant and warrior of the cross, and he said to him these words. He said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Almost. Is there somebody here tonight? And friend, you remember the anxiety of a loved one. You've seen the tears that begged you to get saved. Maybe, friend, you remember the working of the Spirit of God, how that God shook your life and how that God put you into the crucible and lit the flame. And my, the fires of conviction and the conscience that you were lost before God and that you needed God's salvation. And maybe for a while you thought you would change your life, and maybe your habits changed. And maybe, friend, you started to leave the old haunts and the old places, and you started to walk away from those wicked companions. And my, you realized that there was a cup of death, and you were afraid to drink the cup of death because you knew that there was a conviction of God upon your soul. But you're not saved tonight. You're still lost. All of the warnings, all of the pleadings, all of the stirrings of the Spirit of God, but you're lost tonight. You're on your way to hell. So near. So near to the kingdom of heaven. And yet, outside the gate. Yes, Lot's wife was fleeing. She started to flee, but she didn't make it. Listen to me carefully tonight. It's not enough to flee from sin. You've got to flee to Christ. You've got to get into Zohar. You've got to get to Jesus. Now this is what the Holy Spirit of God says. Verse 26. And his wife looked back from behind him. You see that scene? Here's Lot, and he's fleeing. Here's his two daughters, and they're running alongside him. And here's his wife, and she takes a wee step back. Because the Bible says she looked back from behind him. What does that say? Friend, let me tell you, she probably thought that if she just took a wee step back and took a glance, that nobody could see her. Lot wouldn't see her. The daughters wouldn't see her. That somehow she could look back and nobody would know. You know, that's what man does with a sin. He wants to conceal a sin. Man doesn't like to be confronted with a sin. He likes to hide a sin. He doesn't want to think about anybody knowing about what's happening in his life or the sinfulness of his life. He doesn't want people to know about his sinful ways, his sinful thoughts, his sinful habits. Isn't it easier to do sin behind people, isn't it? That's what he thought. I'll just take a wee step back. And you look back from behind them. Let me tell you, there's a problem, friend. God sees everything. And not only does God see everything, God knows everything. Thou, God, seest me, and thou knowest me altogether. The last thought tonight is not only her warning, her witness. You see, the Bible says, verse 26, his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Notice the finality of it. God's judgment upon Lot's wife then wasn't remedial. It was final. It was final. You see, as far as Lot's wife was concerned, there were no more warnings. The Word of God says that God was merciful unto Lot. Yes, that's true, but let me tell you, the mercy's past. God is no longer merciful. God's warning is no longer there. It says, listen, she looked back and she became a pillar of salt. God judged her immediately. The warning's over. The mercy's past. The judgment's final. Somebody said to me, a preacher, was that not a severe warning? Was that not a severe judgment? Listen, that was only a little sin. Sure, it was only a wee look. It was only a wee glance. And let me tell you, sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. There is no little sin. And we have lost the reality of sin being sin anymore. I was interviewed by the young people of the high school, the Rainey School and St. Mary's Grammar School, as a member of the assembly. And in my answer to them, I reminded them, young people, as far as the world is concerned, there is no such thing as sin anymore. But as far as God's concerned, there is. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And sin will bring the judgment of God. And the world may laugh at the gospel preacher. And when he talks about sin and the judgment of God upon it. But God doesn't laugh at sin. And God said, look not behind thee. But she looked back. And she became a pillar of salt. You know what happened then? Sin, it was rebellion against God. It was defiance. It was an act of defiance. She was defying God. And dear unsaved person, before this meeting's closed, let me tell you this, that's exactly what you're sinning. It is a defiance against God. You're a defying God. You think that you somehow can sin and nobody's going to stop you. You think that you can sin and nobody's a right to tell you. You think that you can sin and my, you'll get away with it. The only fool's yourself. Because God says, sin when it is finished, and it will finish. It bringeth forth death. And God says, remember. That's why. You see, her witness, not only the measure of it, of the judgment, but the memory of it. Remember Lot's wife. You see that pillar of salt? It stood as a memorial of the judgment of God, that God meant what He said, that God is not mocked. You know, salt of itself is not worthless. But I tell you, a pillar of salt is. It's a worthless thing. And Lot's wife became a pillar of salt. And friends, let me tell you, a life without Jesus is worthless. Here's my last thought. No, Lot's wife never got a decent burial. Sarah did. Rebecca did. Nobody went back to gather up the salt to bury Lot's wife. Know what the pillar did? It just crumbled. Scattered. Across the plain. The Word of God says this, and with this I'm through. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word tonight, and it's a solemn word, it's a serious word. And O God, as we think of that pillar in the plain, salt, we think of many a worthless and wasted life because of sin. As we look upon it, we see that it speaks to us and brings to our memory the judgment of Thee, a righteous God, upon sin. O God, I pray in Jesus' name, take a hold of those that are gathered here. Let them not sin against light, as Lot's wife did. Her conscience was stirred. Oh God, she was awakened to her need. And yet in folly, she looked back. As her heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friend, I beg you, in God's name, don't be a fool. You need the Lord Jesus tonight. Fleeing is not enough. You've got to flee to Christ. You've got to run to Jesus. He's the only hiding place. He's the only Savior. He's the only hope for your soul. I sang tonight, I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Sinner, you know that's not true for you, is it? You'd rather have anything than Jesus. Will you turn to Him tonight? Oh, turn while the Savior in mercy is pleading, and stay for the harbor light. For how do you know that your soul may be drifting over the dead line tonight? Just as I am, Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you tonight. I come just as I am, without having anything of myself to plead. but that thy blood was shed for me. And if there's one tonight, and as we sing this verse, you just lift that hand, indicate your desire. I want to be saved. Lead me to Christ. Lead me to Jesus. O Lamb of God, I come. Please, I beg you in God's name, come now as we sing the final verse. Just as I am without one plea. Is there one in our service tonight? You lift that hand right now before the Lord, friend, to beg you in God's name, don't fool away your day of grace. Don't sin away the opportunity God's given you tonight. You're in a great place of opportunity right now. Will you come to Christ? Will you turn from your sin? You lift your hand before the Lord, sinner or backslider, just as I am and waiting not the final invitation. Just as I am and waiting to rid my soul. Is there one tonight in the closing segment? You just lift that hand and I'll see it, friend. Don't be afraid or ashamed. Let the Lord know that you mean business with Him tonight. Cry out unto God and thank God He'll save you. Is there one before we close? O Lamb of God, I come. Heavenly Father, Thou knowest the hearts of everyone that's gathered here. Thou knowest the anxiety of the heart. Thou knowest the burden of the heart. Thou knowest the war that's going on perhaps inside many a heart at this present moment, the struggle. But, O God, I pray that by Your Holy Spirit just take hold of them tonight and bring them right in to Christ. Bring them to Jesus. Let not one be lost for Jesus' sake.